Thank you so much to the choir and to Brian and to our soloists. It is such a privilege to be held by the music ministry of a congregation. This has just been wonderful. I crossed the threshold of my home congregation for the first time during the fall when I was 8 years old. The 7 acres of forest surrounding the Cedar Lane Unitarian Universalist Church in Bethesda, Maryland, were ablaze in their autumnal glory, and I remember thinking how pretty the wood and stone church was amid all of the trees. We entered the building through the religious education wing, and when I went to use the bathroom, I noticed the toilets and sinks were all my size. They really want me here, I thought. People of all ages greeted me when we took seats in the sanctuary, and when the organist began playing Morning Has Broken, I said, "Mom, they sing Cat Stevens songs here." And when we returned the next week, the minister remembered my name, and the congregation welcomed and celebrated my family and me for who we were. And within a few years, there were hardly any parts of church life where I wasn't involved. It's the church where I was married, the congregation that loved and supported me into ministry, the tradition that has and continues to help me make meaning of my life. This is an important part of my story, an important part of my life, of how I came to claim this faith for my own, of how this faith eventually came to claim me as I became a minister. I imagine many people here have their own versions of this story, of the first time you felt welcomed here or in a congregation like this one, of the ways religious community has transformed you and your life. And those parts of our stories have wisdom to offer us, wisdom about how to welcome one another, how to make our communities places where more and more people think, "Wow, they want me here." This is part of my story, but only one part. Just as many of you have stories of feeling welcomed, I imagine you also have some of feeling unwelcome. Having been raised in this free faith tradition, I grew up believing that my congregation would wholeheartedly support my search for truth wherever it led me. And yet as a teenager, when I was drawn to the wisdom and the Christian roots of the Universalist part of our tradition, some people in my congregation, people I'd grown up with, suggested I might fit in better in a United Church of Christ congregation. It was the first time, but not the last, that I felt let down by my faith community. The first time I really felt othered. The first time I perceived how hard practicing pluralism can be, and how even for Unitarian Universalists, there is often a gap between our ideals and the way we live out our faith. And while the details of this part of my story are unique, in my years in the ministry, I've heard people from lots of different beliefs and non-beliefs, ages and stages, identities and political persuasions tell their own stories of feeling unwanted or excluded or othered in our congregations. It can be risky sharing the fullness of ourselves through our stories, especially the painful parts. It can be risky when our stories challenge the opinions or assumptions or worldviews of others. People who tell new or different or hard stories are often othered or branded as misfits or heretics or troublemakers. This was certainly true for Daniel Ellsberg, who released the Pentagon Papers and revealed how the Johnson administration had lied to the public and Congress about the Vietnam War. Though the charges were eventually dropped, soon after the paper's release, Ellsberg was charged with espionage, conspiracy, and theft of government property, all for telling a different, fuller story than the government wanted Americans to know. He risked a lot to tell that story. Black Lives Matter has revealed again for us how risky it can be for people of color to tell their stories. Stories that challenge white privilege and fragility. Stories that reveal just how large the gap is between the ideals many in the nation will celebrate tomorrow and the actual injustice and oppression millions of people live with every day. Telling our stories, sharing our hard-won wisdom and perspective can be risky, but on that path lie seeds to growth and transformation. As Laura Hershey writes in our reading this morning, those with power can afford to tell their story or not. Those without power risk everything to tell their story and must. Someone somewhere will hear your story and decide to fight, to live and refuse compromise. Someone else will tell her own story, risking everything. In telling our stories, we make room for others. And if we let them, the stories others choose to share with us, the pieces of wisdom they have to offer the world, can help us learn to perceive all people not as other, but as kin. If we let them, the wisdom others choose to share can teach us more of the large story of life of which we are all a part. Christian and I are passionate about the ways that religious communities can transform lives, can be places where the fullness of people's stories are welcomed and celebrated. We are passionate about nurturing congregations where people of diverse backgrounds and races, ethnicities, beliefs, and non-beliefs can come and feel, wow, this community really wants me here. We want to be part of a community that is committed to making our shared human story more just and fair and prosperous for everyone. And we look forward to sharing more of our stories with you this candidating week and to hearing yours. We look forward to sharing our gifts with and among you and to all that each of you have to teach us. Now and hopefully through many years ahead of shared ministry. And we are honored and excited at the possibilities in being part of the next chapter of this wonderful congregation.
was into a small congregation in a college town in East Central Texas that I went looking for something. I had returned to my home state after a 2-year absence that was not especially happy. I had loved my job in Mississippi, but not a whole lot else about that time. And at the same time, a mentor of mine was dying. So when I came into church that day, it was in search of, comfort and support. And probably, though I didn't know it at the time, the sense that my life had some meaning, that there was a point to all of this. So I walked into the Unitarian Universalist Church of the Brazos Valley in College Station, Texas, and I was home. It's still my home church, though I am rarely there these days. That was the place that welcomed me and my questions and my needs and my story. And for that, I will be forever grateful. And it was that first time I came in. On a Thursday afternoon, actually, just after I had interviewed for the job I would eventually get, I went to the church and I walked in, and that's when it all began. I was lucky, in fact, because I was there after 5 on a Thursday afternoon, which is not the busiest time for a lot of our congregations, but there happened to be a member there in the church office doing something, and she welcomed me warmly. She gave me a tour. It's not a big facility. It was a really quick tour. And invited me to come back any Sunday, which about 6 weeks later I did. So I ask you, do you remember that feeling? Because it's something to come into a place like this for the first time, even if you've been to another UU church like I had. This is different this time. You know that even before coming that first time, probably, that it's a special place. Whatever church or Unitarian Universalist or worship or Sunday morning or the other words we use might mean to you, you know that it's special. It may be scary too, at least in a small sense. Like, what do they do there? Exactly. And will I be welcome? And is it for me? So what did you come into this place seeking that first time? I know a lot of stories, not yet all of yours, but I know of similar stories, perhaps. I think of the single mother looking for a place for her 2 daughters to feel welcomed and to learn and grow, a place where she could know that she would be welcome too, even if she only wanted to sit and be quiet and drink her coffee. Or I think of the older man who had lived his entire life upset about the religious group he had been raised in. One that didn't welcome or affirm him because of his sexual orientation. He came that day looking for a welcome, for confirmation that he could love God and his boyfriend at the same time. Or I think of the former police officer, still suffering from trauma she suffered on the job, who needed a place to heal and be whole. And I think of the young woman who wanted a place that loved and welcomed her, whatever she might believe, even if that thing she believes or doesn't believe may well change next week. And I think of the many, many we never talk about a lot, those who grew up here whose first Sunday they don't even remember because they were a week or 6 weeks old, like our sons were the first time they had to come to church with us because they didn't have any choice about it. In fact, they still don't, actually. But how were you treated? If we are to become the people and community that we want to be, it means welcoming others and their stories into our own lives, and that means change. It means being willing to change and to be changed. It means committing to being a part of a community that will love and support you, even as it challenges you to be better, to go deeper, to reassess what you thought you knew, and to be ever open to where our future together leads. Because the story of Unitarian Universalism did not start this week, nor even in 1961 when Unitarianism and Universalism merged. It started a long, long time ago. It's a long story with a lot of interesting nooks and crannies to explore. As we've lifted up today, it intersects with the founding of this country, which we celebrate tomorrow on Independence Day. It intersects with a lot of stories of misfits and heretics, our monthly theme for worship. Misfits and heretics would not be an inaccurate description of a lot of our UU heroes. And each of those stories and each of our stories forms a little piece of that larger story. Kristen and I walked through these doors for the first time a few weeks ago on a weekend-long interview with your search committee, also looking for something. We were looking for a place where we can do meaningful ministry, where we can join our skills and passions with a community that needs and values them. We are looking for a community where our boys will grow up, loved, and cared for. We did not, however, come looking for a perfect congregation or for a congregation that merely thinks it's perfect. Because we want to be with people who submerge in the task, as Marge Piercy puts it in a reading in our hymnal. She says that the pitcher cries for water to carry and a person for work that is real. And that's part of what we were looking for, too, for work that is real, for a congregation that knows our larger shared ministry is real and necessary and just what the world most needs. So in this week, we have a chance, in fact, many chances, to get to know you and for you to get to know us. We hope to have a chance to talk to you about the ministry we envision, knowing that we don't even yet know enough about this community to say exactly what that will look like. To do that, we need to hear your stories and your visions and your ministries already underway and what our larger community in the East Bay is being and doing in the world. Our ministry will be joined with yours, our stories joined with yours. And we hope this week to have the chance to begin hearing those stories from many of you. And we're excited about this week. And I've been led to believe by your search committee and your board that you are too. Thank you. So I hope we have a chance to see each and every one of you again this week and again here next Sunday. So today we have a chance to be a part of telling the next story of this congregation. May each of our own stories be a part of it, and may we each be a part of that story.